Love a rugby league same game multi? Then you've got to check out Picklebet same game multi. Watch your odds and payouts skyrocket when you combine your favorite team's markets, like head-to-head, first try scorer, and winning margin. Picklebet, the next-gen betting app and official sponsor of the NRL All-Stars podcast.
What are you really gambling with?
For free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
And all that glitters is gold.
Only shooting stars break the mold.
Welcome to another episode of the NRL All-Stars podcast. Barnsley here for Supercoach episode TLT round 3. Huge week this week because it is the week that we will see our first price changes after round 3 games. That is a massive time for every single super coach to make sure they're getting their trades and their moves right. This is the time to get your team set. This week we have Perso on board. Perso, welcome back to the All Stars podcast, mate. Hopefully your team's been going okay the first couple of rounds.
Oh, it's a bog standard start of the season for me, Barnsley. Everything's gone pear-shaped that could go pear-shaped. Players getting injured and Coach IO and the rest of it. So it's been a fair carnage, especially with the news of Marju and the likes this afternoon. So, not the ideal start to the season.
No, I think a lot of people are in that boat. There's many experienced super coaches that are feeling the brunt of the first couple of rounds, and it's been a couple of rounds where we haven't actually seen a lot of the big guns really stepping up and performing. There hasn't been a huge amount of big scores from the top tier guys. On the weekend, we had 145 point score, and that was the best score so far of the season. But that came from Isaac Tango, who I loved as a pod preseason, but the Panthers draw made me stay completely away. 1.6% of teams, he threw up 145. Pappenhausen actually went up to 132, which got upgraded, which was really nice. And he's in 19.2% of teams, but perhaps the only guy in the top seven that actually was not a pod at all to perform at 100-plus level. Even James Tedesco, you know, is only owned by 4.5% of teams with his 103, so not many people got to enjoy that. So
how crazy is that in this day? Yeah, 2 years ago, Tedesco would have been one of the most owned. And, yeah, no one owns him now.
No, and it's one of those years where I think there's a few of these guys that we've jumped off that have actually gone well to start the season that maybe we didn't expect. And guys that we just sort of thought were 100% going to go well, like the Clearys and the Kynes. Kynes got 75 and Cleary got 73. So, I mean, they weren't too far off. And I think that it's probably been overstated a little bit, you know, how much teams need to sell these type of guys. And we're going to get into that in a little bit later. But for this podcast, everyone listening, it's going to be interesting because we've got, like I said, the first price rises. And it's important to talk about strategy with that because we've got to go through maybe a few different types of strategies that teams are employing at the moment and unpack those a little bit. We're going to go straight into Market Watch after that and then straight to round 3 TLT with the team changes, VCC and other relevant options that might have popped up that haven't been spoken about. So huge episode on the podcast. Perso, I did generally just to wrap up round 2 quickly. I did think that there was an uptick of scoring, which was good. And I think that we saw that with a lot of the players. The thing that stood out to me going into round 3 when I'm wrapping up on round 2 is that I was really annoyed in round 2 that we still didn't get to see a lot of proper rotations. You know, like the Bulldogs end up with, Famosawa Ali getting knocked out. That completely screwed up their rotations. Even that Roosters game, we didn't quite get to see the rotations. And then we've got some other teams as well that have got changes this week too. I think that there was close to 15 different HIAs on the weekend as well, which is a large amount. So I think the second round, much like the first, I think that we just haven't got as many questions answered as what we might have in prior seasons for mine.
Oh, especially in the middle forward rotations, 100%. Like even looking at Zoe, Yavis played 80 the last couple of weeks. Has been, Fisher Harris went down on the weekend. So, when he's been killing it and no one's got his new side because everyone was going for those mid-rangers, which sort of have been sort of firing and misfiring for a lot of them. But yeah, there's a question mark over everyone's middle minutes. Like you look at Curran, for example, he's 2 weeks in a row, he's played pretty good minutes off the bench, but it's been affected by HIA and injury, both works. And I don't think there's a lot of answers for the long-term rotation with a lot of these guys, especially in the middle.
No, and the other thing that happened on the weekend as well in round two is that we had some pretty close games, quite a few of them. That Panthers-Eels game always seems to deliver quite a bit, and 26-18 it did again, but it also meant that it was pretty blunt on the Supercoach scoring front. And there was a heap of games like that, right? Like Cowboys 21-20 over Newcastle, another one, and the Roosters. Manly was pretty dour, I thought, 21-14, and pretty lucky to get guys like Tedesco actually score well in that. So there just seemed to be a lot of these games in the first two rounds. The Dolphins and the Dragons have been involved on opposite ends of some smash-ups. And funnily enough, the Dolphins smashed the Dragons this week at 38-0. So, I mean, we did see a couple of blowouts like that. But to me, it's a bit disappointing on the scoring front because there were so many grinding games. And then there was also that like South Broncos game that was just an awful contest with a million errors.
Yeah, that's pretty typical for this time of the year. It's very like that, the Dolphins game in round one when they got flogged by the Cowboys. That's the first score in the first two rounds for the last 3 or 4 years of a team's put 40 on a side in the first two rounds. So it's pretty unusual. Every side sort of comes out a bit rusty and a bit more defence-orientated, even the sides that sort of fall away. So you sort of expect that a little bit. I think this round will start to go a bit more, sort of about round four onwards, or sort of five onwards, you start to see a bit more of a trend with scoring, but it's always a bit dour to start the season. This season seems to be back to a bit more what it used to be like 3 or 4 years ago, where there just really was not much to do with scoring.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that it segues really well going into our strategy chat, because teams probably need to look at round two and round one as well and kind of think back to a few years ago that you're not getting these big scores every week, and that's okay. And I think teams need to start to remember how to manage that. And going into this week, the first part of it, like obviously the strategy talk per se is going to be about how you're going to manage your trades on a week where we're going to have price rises and you can't get everybody. So there's a lot of different teams that are doing different things. So I think that when we kind of break it up a little bit into the different types of selling and buying, one of the things that's come up is the selling of guns. And we're going to go into individual players in detail in Market Watch, but every year this happens, so it's not new, but I think that this year, more than the last few years, there's a much higher sell percentage of guns than what we normally have. And I'm quite surprised, to be honest, because I think, to me personally, I look at it as tiers, right? And I'm really interested in how you look at it. For me, I've got the tier one guys that I'm just not going to sell. Like if I started with those guys, it's because I decided that they were really important for me to get points and I need those guys in my team. And that's something that I think super coaches need to remember. Yes, it's important to make money, but the aim of the game is to score points. And if you sacrifice all these different guns in your team, like the Hineses, like the Clearys, even the Pongers who are underperforming, if you sacrifice all these guys, you're not going to score the points. And you can bathe in all this money that you're saving. Maybe you save 200 grand in the next week, but you can also, you know, cry yourself to sleep over the 150 points that you might have missed out on. So to me, the tier one guys, I just do not sell. And we're seeing a lot of those guys being sold. Now, I won't say any time I won't sell them per se, but at the start of the season, I just don't, because I know that I'm going to want those guys back in a couple of weeks. And you have to have some of these top guys. And I'm seeing so many teams that are selling like a Ponga and a Hines. And I'm looking at the side going, man, you've got like one, maybe two tier one guys, and that's it after that. That's just not enough.
It's fraught with danger. Absolutely. Cleary's probably the case in point the last two seasons. I know he didn't start last year. He missed the first couple of games. But the last 2 years, his first two games have been mud, and then he's gone 150 in the third game. So, I mean, that's the sort of thing. You get those guys in the side because you know what they're capable of. And they might start slow, but, I mean, whatever they lose, they're going to make back those sort of players. I mean, Hines will probably get to a bit later, but I mean, he didn't set the world on fire in round one. Scored pretty decent round two. The Tigers this week, I mean, he's the highest scoring player in the last two seasons. You know, punting this week playing the Tigers, like, it's fraught with danger doing that, I think.
Yeah, 100%. And you have to think about the captaincy options as well when you're selling these guys. And I'd probably urge, if you're going to sell one of these guys like a Hines, who are you going to captain instead this week? And you really have to think about what that could set you back. Like, if Hines scores 120 and your captain scores 60, that's going to be a big difference this week. And it's one of the reasons I said earlier, Perso, that I'm not keen on selling the tier one type of elite guns is because I know that I'm going to want those guys back. And for me, from round three to round five or six, there just is so many different trades that you have to make. Like, this is the mad cash scramble. You've got to jump on these guys that are going to make money. You've got to jump on these guys with new roles.
Don't even waste some trades, trading in and out guns there, when, especially this season when there's bugger all cheapies.
Yeah, that's right. And look, there's a change in your roles too, right? Like, we're seeing it already with guys dropped and stuff, that you're going to get guys that have opportunity that are almost going to be must-buys for you that you think you're going to have, and you can't get them because you're going to not be able to get Hines back in when you wanted to try and get him back in, and you're going to waste a trade on that. Or you're not going to get him back in and you're going to lose points. It's just, to me, they're meaningless trades. Like, you don't need to make these trades. And with the tier one guns, you raise a really good point with Cleary. Like, he started slow last time and then went bang in his third game. These guys aren't like other players in Supercoach. They're not going to go on runs of 4, 5, 6, 7 games in a row not scoring well. So the more games in a row that you get a Cleary or a Hines underwhelming against their average price point, the more chances the next week they're going to go bang. It just happens with all of them every time.
Yeah, exactly. This week's a case of, like, a heap of people who get rid of Hines this week, he could go 160 and miss his PE by 15 points this week. That's just the type of players that they are. If you pick them to start with, you don't worry about the PE with these sort of guys. I mean, obviously, Hines has been the top scoring Supercoach player for the last two seasons, so you're not really going to worry about a bit of a slow start. Surely you've got bigger problems than you saw.
Yeah, and look, like you said, Hines could make up that money in 2 weeks' time and just get that money back that he loses anyway. But it's also, I guess, one of those things as well where people are trying to probably be a bit too cute at this point of the season. And I will say, like, I've in the past, Perso, and I know you have, made money out of selling a gun and getting them back, but it hasn't been at the start of the season. And I think that that's the important point. You can't waste the trades. There's too many other priorities at the start of the season to set your team up, to fix your team, to get rid of mistakes that you made, and to get the cashies in to be able to make the money. So certainly in the past, you know, I've gone, look, I'm going to sell Nathan Cleary around 10 and buy him back around 15, and I'm going to make 250K. But the point of the season really matters when you do those type of moves, doesn't it?
Oh, exactly. Especially, you're talking about Origin and that sort of stuff. That's a completely different sort of argument with that sort of thing. The thing with these sort of guys too, Cleary and Hines, there's not really many options at halfback. It's like, it's different to fullback at the moment, where you've got like a dozen, but you've got at least 6 to 8 guys that can score really well at fullback. You can play a bit of trade roulette at fullback a bit more. But when you're in a position like at a halfback or 5'8" or hooker or whatever, those sort of positions where there's not really a lot of guns, you got one in there, you just ride it out, especially those premium guys like that. Like, there's no point swapping and trading and wasting trades there.
And obviously there's sort of those tier two sort of guns where it's a little bit easier to sell them, and really it's a bit of a, you know, do you believe that someone like, say, you know, maybe Ponga could be in tier two potentially? You know, I still sort of think he's tier one, but maybe you could argue he's in tier two. Is he somebody that you can say, look, I've watched him and I don't believe in him this year, or I just don't think that he's going to score the same? You could jump off those guys, but probably the next part of the strategy is, well, if you are going to decide that these guys aren't going to be guns anymore and you're going to sell them, who are you buying? And I think that that's got to be the next important thing, because if you're cashing out just to make money and you're getting 3 cows in, then your team is going to be really thin on points. So the other sort of strategy that we need to talk about is the making money strategy. And for me, it's always been a real balance. You have to balance making money with being able to still score really good points.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it's all well and good making money, but look, you still need to score points too. At the end of the day, the Supercoach is all about scoring points. And I mean, it's a bit trickier this year with not the amount of genuine cash cows to start the season. So everyone's sort of juggling, and I think everyone should be focusing on what the mid-ranges that they've got so far that have either been killing it or not killing it, and sort of juggling around those sort of players, your BEs and your trades this week. I really wouldn't be wasting trades hunting out premium guns.
Yeah, that's really good advice as well. So with your money making, do you tend to use all your boosts early? Is that sort of a strategy that you partake for the first round of price changes and everything, just using your boosts up?
It's totally team dependent. Like, I would like to save some boosts early on, but I tend to get bloody hammered with injuries and stuff like that. That really happened to me last year. I got demolished, and I used them up pretty quickly. This year's not starting to level up better, to be honest. This round is probably a really good round to use a boost, especially this season with no real obvious cheapies to start the year, and there's players have emerged that are making money, and I really think this is a really good round to try and maximise your team growth financially. So a boost this round would be, I think, pretty much most people would be using it, wouldn't they, unless they really somehow picked everyone with a crystal ball to start the season.
I don't think any team can afford to not use a boost. Almost any team can't afford to use a boost at this point. And I would say, like, if you want to save boosts and you're a team that wants to do that, use it this round ahead of round three and then save them, because this is, I think, the most important round to sort of get it right. The other strategy as well, Perso, for this round is it's your last chance to get your team build right. And I think you've got three trades where you can do that. So certainly there's some teams who probably haven't built their team right. That could be teams who maybe have gone too thin, which means they've got, you know, three nuffs there, or ended up with like five guys not playing because they got a Poasa, Famasuali, and also a Jacob Gagai there as well with some nuffs. And this is probably a good time to clean that up. And we focus about not getting rid of the studs and the guns. I mean, if you're one of these teams, keep your guns and try and just move these other guys around that are going to be useless so you've got a better team build. I think that's a really good strategy to use a boost with the three trades ahead of round three too.
Yeah, I 100% agree. It's really, especially this season, more than last, with, so there wasn't really a lot of obvious gaps to start the season. So surely everyone can use three trades this week to get in some nice low BE guys and build your kitty up.
Well, let's go into Market Watch and start talking about some of these players, because it's a really interesting trade week, because obviously everyone's trading in. A lot of these guys are going to be relevant for some big cash rises and getting rid of some of these guns that we spoke about. So before we get stuck into that, we do need to talk about the official betting partner of the NRL All-Stars podcast in Picklebet. Jump on to picklebet.com.au today and check them out. They've got some great markets this week, though. Absolutely love it. There's some really good odds generally. So, I mean, the Cronulla Sharks against the Tigers, -11.5 line at the moment, $1.88. Absolutely love that one. But the best way to make some good odds and some good cash, jump on to the same game multis with the rugby league this week. You can jump on the Penrith Panthers this week if you like them to beat the Broncos. Same game multi, -9.5 points. Isaac Tango to score anytime. Sonny Taruva to score anytime. You're going to get $6.50 on that bet. And that is pretty crazy. We had Tango get six line breaks last week at a try, and Sonny Taruva scored last week too. And the Broncos are looking a bit under strength with maybe Payne Haas out, and also Adam Reynolds definitely gone. So this grand final rematch, you know, the Panthers could be all over it. And if you like it, go and have a look at the same game multi options. But there's so many good odds that Picklebet have that you can jump on for this week. Picklebet often has some really good odds that you can find, certainly on all the sports betting. But if you like racing, they're great at racing, fantastic at e-gaming, but great at other sports too. You can jump on the basketball. NBL's on tonight with the final series going. Jump on there as well. But make sure when you create the account on Picklebet that you let them know that you come from this podcast. And to do that, when you sign up, make sure that you put All Stars as your affiliate code. Just say All Stars in that box, and they'll know that you come from this podcast. They'll take great care of you. They often have some great offers and stuff that you'll find in there as well. So jump on, have a look if you like a punt. Obviously, always gamble responsibly, though. Think, is this a bet that you really want to place? For gambling help, you can call 1-800-858-858. For further help, you can go to gamblinghelponline.org.au. Now back to the footy talk. Most popular trades at the moment, Haylam Lukey's gone. It's really unfortunate. I've seen some people giving him the Supercoach bad-mouthing and saying he was useless and he'd look good anyway. Look, he would have been good. It's just unfortunate.
He was looking like one of the better cows this season, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, he's my favourite second-row forward person. He was the number one guy I wanted to start with.
Me too. You know, that was a bit of a pain in the arse this week, but I don't know if I'm going to have to get rid of him this week either, because I've got enough depth to cover him for a week and he's not going to lose cash. So that's something else to think about as well.
Yeah, and look, that's a really great point, because like I've said, he's a must trade. But if you're hemorrhaging and needing to do other things, or you can't get the money makers in that you think is going to be best for your team, then just hold Lukey for a week and just trade him next week. It's really good advice from Perso because a lot of teams don't think to do that, but you can. Kalyn Ponga is the most controversial one, though, at the top. He's the second most traded out player at the moment. So, look, I'm a Kalyn Ponga owner. Initially, I was thinking, look, maybe he's not going to be one of those elite guns to start this year. And I sort of ummed and ahed about it. And then I had to look at it again. I went, no, you know what? I'm going to hold him. And my reasoning is this. I do think that he is in that tier one category of guns. And there's just too many other trades for me to make that are available that it just isn't worth it. Like to me, if I'm going Kalyn Ponga to, say, a Turbo, it's quite sideways as far as the scoring. I could have Ponga outscore Turbo this week, whereas other points in my team, I can have huge upgrades at the moment in scoring and cash. So I'm going to hold him. As far as how he's gone, Perso, obviously he's underwhelmed, but he's still scored around 50 points for the season so far across two games, 50 and 45. Both of them are poor games. He's barely had any attack. He comes up against a Storm, which I think a lot of people are worried about, but I'm actually quite buoyed by this matchup this week because, you know, in rugby league, you just have all these things sort of come together for this great ambush story, and you can almost see it unfold in your head. You know, Jerome Hughes is out, Cameron Munster's out, Newcastle's backs are against the wall, they've made changes in their spine, dropped their half, they're playing at Newcastle against the mighty Melbourne Storm. What you won't see in those headlines is that the Storm are pretty under strength, and they haven't been the Storm of old for probably a couple of years either. So I'm not scared of Kalyn Ponga playing the Storm this week. In fact, I actually think he might buck the trend, and I reckon he'll get his best score this week. So when I have a look at that, like, he's got 169 BE. There's no getting around that. But after the Storm, he then has the Warriors, the Dragons, the Roosters, and three out of the next four at home, by the way. And then he hits the Bulldogs in round 7 and the Dolphins in round 8. Then again, the Warriors in round 9, the Tigers and the Gold Coast Titans before the bye. Newcastle's draw after this week is absolutely phenomenal. You could argue it is the best draw there is. So one of the other things that I sort of said to myself personally is, well, you know what? If I trade someone like Kalyn Ponga out, I'm going to want him back in 2 weeks, and I can't afford to make that trade. And he might only be 100 grand less. That's great, but it's still a trade, and I don't want to spend 100 grand wasting a trade at a time when I'm going to need to make money. So I've decided to keep him. Are you going to talk me into selling him?
Not now that Hastings has been dropped. Nothing on Hastings, but there's too many cooks in the kitchen in the first 2 weeks when you watch with the Cogger coming off the bench, and there's times where you had Hastings, Cogger, Campbell all on the field at once. And it was sort of disrupting their attack, I thought. But I think that would probably change a bit now. But it's just Cogger and Gamble. That draw is always the reason you pick. That's the reason I started with Ponga and Margie was because of the Knights draw. I was in the mind of sort of selling Ponga, but I think I'll probably hang on to him now. That's more to do, not only with that, the draw, but Margie and other guys that I sort of can move on now and not worry about Ponga's 169. I mean, he goes out and scores 120 this week. Even in the next couple of weeks, you're not losing a lot, are you, in point-wise? So that's always the thing with these guys. They can consistently go 150-plus. You get rid of them, and then they start doing that, then you've got to try and find a way to get them back in again. I mean, you pick them for a reason. Probably if you see him as that premium guy, which you did, you pick him over other fullbacks to start the season, you're probably more inclined to hang on to him, especially with that nice draw. And I mean, there's no guarantee Ponga plays Origin this season either, is there? So, I mean, there's even that to think about further down the track. Yeah, it's definitely a week that the Knights can ambush the Storm with both their premium halves out. That's for sure.
It's a great point on holding him too, because around 13 they play the Bulldogs in the first big bye round. You know, it's,
yeah, imagine having Ponga as a captain option in that.
I think that teams need to look a bit long term with some of these ones, and that's probably one where I've looked long term and gone, you know what, the immediate future isn't that bad, and he's not going to keep going and scoring 50 and 45. Like, the only attacking stat he's had, I think, is try contribution.
Well, that's it. Like, he's still, his base is there too. It's not like he's pulled out a couple of 17s.
Well, that's right. Like, it's actually, in a glass half full approach way, it's kind of encouraging that he scored 50 and 45 when Newcastle looked awful, and he's basically got no clutch attack stats. That's pretty incredible, actually. So I think that he's going to come good, and I'm going to hold him myself. But I do understand teams selling him. And look, I don't want to ever say, per se, to people, there is one way to do it. There isn't. There is going to be
100%.
There's going to be some teams that are set up really well. You know, there might be some teams that have hit on every proper good cashy, And they've, if you're one of those teams, you've got the ability to pick and choose and say, you know what, I'm going to swap a couple of guns out to other guns because I think they're better guns. I think they're going to have better seasons. I made a mistake starting them. And you've probably got that luxury and your team will be okay. But for a lot of teams, I think you might actually regret it and not be okay with all the other options there. But I understand teams selling him. So I don't want to sound like, you know, there's no way that you should sell Kalyn Pohe. I will throw out there to finish up. He scored 96 on the Storm last year when the Storm were at full peak as well.
Oh, he could come out and score a 50 again this week quite easily.
He could. I'm hoping not, though, because I'm going to hold him.
But the thing for me, no one's really jumping out at fullback. Like, there's all those good guns, but no one's coming out and going bang, bang, and just look like they're 100% better than everyone else. But out of all these guys, your Walters, your Deskos, your Mitchell, like Mitchell last week, was looking at 50 before that 79th minute try. Pongers, your Drinkwater, like they're all thereabouts, but no one is really just going, oh, we're dominating. So like you sort of, at this point, whoever you've stuck with at fullback, I'd probably be more inclined just to stick with them for a bit longer.
Yeah, because it saves you the trade as well, right? And that's a trade that's...
Yeah, that's the thing.
And like normally saving a trade is very valuable, and some people even put a price on it, whether it's 100 grand or whatever. But that's in normal circumstances. But before round three is not normal circumstances. A trade is worth absolute gold at this point because we haven't had any price rises and this is your last chance to get in before they actually happen. So I agree with you on the fullback thing. I don't see anyone really standing out hugely to get in. And I don't see one fullback with a better draw than Ponga coming up now. So that's a big deal for me. Ezra Mamm has been very disappointing. Absolutely should be going out of teams. And this is where you might get some inexperienced coaches per se. So, oh, but Ezra Mann's a gun as well. No, he's not. I'm talking tier one guns when I don't want to trade him. Even guys that are averaging 60+, and Ezra Mamm has not averaged 60+ ever. You know, you could still argue at a 65 average guy, even though he's a gun, you're going to move him on. You know, Marju was much more arguable to move on than what Ponga was, and he's an out-and-out gun, but he's still not one of those top few options. Ezra Mamm can go easily, but I am in dire straits at hooker Perth, though, and I'm after your advice here. Absolute dire straits. Denny Levi. I'm a proud owner of the GOAT, Denny Levi.
So am I.
And 238,000 was... Why? You know, to get someone at almost bottom dollar and just go, you know what? I don't care if he spuds, he'll make some money slowly. And I just don't see any other options. Now, obviously, all the Denny Levi sellers are going over to Lussick now. Now, Lussick is about 75K more. So you do have to factor that in. I initially was not interested at all in going Denny Levi to Lussick. I sort of found it a little bit of a waste because to me, you know, Denny Levi's got a minus 16 break even, which is good. He's going to make money. Lussick's got a minus 50-odd break even. But even though that break even's a lot bigger, you then have to factor in the cash and how much, you know, you've already got 75K that you've made basically by not doing that trade because you can use that 75K somewhere else in price difference. That was a big deal to me, and that was why I basically said, you know, screw the bigger break even. But the more I look around, the more people are doing this trade. And Sangster, you know, really liked it as well. And a lot of other, you know, very astute super coaches like it. So I don't know what to do here, per se, because my initial instinct was I'll stick with Denny Levi, pocket the 75K, and there's all these different trades I can make to make money elsewhere. So I may as well keep making money at hooker and make money at three other new places instead of make money at hooker and two other new places with my three trades I could make. But now I'm not so sure.
Yeah, it's a tough one. That's a lot of money. Lussick, and the minutes were there again, like 73 minutes, I think, on the weekend. So, I mean, he has scored a try both weeks, and so has Levi as well. So, Levi scored without scoring tries. He's scoring 30. So, that's a tricky one. I don't know what to do there. Although, I don't really know that Levi to Lussick. I started with Coruscant and Levi. I mean, Coruscant got 82 on the weekend with a try. Have you got that much faith in the Tigers? Do you go a chorus out to Lussick and free up some cash somewhere and run with Lussick and Levi? I'm not sure. It's a bit of a weird move to sort of say Blake scored 82 and you want to punt him for someone. I don't know. It's one of those scenarios. You can't have everyone, can you, Barnsley? That's the thing. You're sort of team dependent. If you've got no other fires to put out, then, you know, a Levi to Lussick trade isn't the worst in the world, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think that if your team's set up where you've got most of the plays that you want to have and you're sitting pretty, then it's a good trade to make. Go Levi to Lussick, just make the extra money. But for a lot of teams like mine, I'm not so sure it's a home run. One of the problems with Denny Levi at the moment, the positive is that we saw in 2020 he played 60 minutes a game as a starting hooker and he scored 41 points a game, which was 15 points above his price point. And that's what we looked at in the preseason with him. He's doing that now. He's scoring 42 points a game at 58 minutes. So it's basically the same as the 2020 season. The minutes are the same. It's profiled perfect, you know, that he's sort of going to score 40-odd. But the bad thing is, when you actually look at the numbers, though, he's a lot worse than 2020 because his base is only 19 per game in his first 2 weeks. That is awful. Like, he scored the tries the first 2 weeks, but just the base, like, for a hooker to play almost 60 minutes and only get 19 points in base is absolutely abysmal. And it's worse than 2020. If he keeps going like this, the worry is in a couple of weeks, you're going to have to sell him anyway.
Yeah, that's the problem. He's been feeling putrid, even though he's just managed to get across the line for some tries. So it's a tricky situation. If you haven't got 85s to put out, then, yeah, he's an obvious trade, really. It's sort of, especially he's still going to make money too. That's with the lack of cheapies this year, I'm loath to trade out anyone that's got a negative PE at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, I have to say, like, Lussick was huge on the weekend, but 63 minutes in round one, he still only had 31 base himself, which is basically the sort of base that Levi was doing back in 2020 that he's obviously not doing now by about 10 points a game. So, I mean, Lussick's a bit of a spud as well himself. So, yeah, there is that to consider too, where in a few weeks you may have to trade Lussick out as well, if it's more round 1 minutes and round 2 minutes. So it's a tough one with Levi. I understand why coaches are doing that trade. I would probably, for me personally, like the final advice on it, it's one of those ones where, you know, it's hard to say, but my final advice on it would probably be for people, you know, Levi is a spud, but if you're doing a Levi to Lussick trade and not getting in some of these other guys with big break evens or some of these other guys that can help your team a lot more or save your 50 points this week and stuff, then maybe you should be looking at some of the other guys instead and just wearing that one, because we do have other guys with big break evens as well. Hosking's obviously been killed, but there is some other options that can also score points. And guys like Tapiki has job security as well, a much smaller break even, but he looks like he could actually make money for a longer period. So maybe teams need to consider that, what the situation is. But I don't want to talk about Denny Levi anymore per se, because I just killing me. Mitchell Moses. Now, he's one of those guys that's not a tier one gun. You can just decide that it didn't quite work out and you pull the pin. I'm going to actually hold him, but he's gone 33 and 36 the first 2 weeks. He's break even to 129, though. It isn't that high, all things considered. So, you know, I've just said I'm going to prioritise getting money and doing these other trades that I think are more important. But next two games are at CommBank Stadium and he's got the Manly Seagulls and the West Tigers. So it isn't the worst for Parramatta to turn around for him to make that money back.
No, I started with him as well. he just hasn't really looked like firing a shot, though, has he? That's the thing. It's not the biggest break even of those guys that we're talking about, but he's also not that top tier gun either. He's sort of a bit below. And you always know with Mitch Moses, he's going to have those scores that are pretty low. But I thought of 3 out of 4 games at CommBank was the reason I picked him. So might be inclined to hold on to him. Yeah, it's a tough one for me to know what to do with him. But he could also shed corn and not go over 80 points in the next couple of 3 or 4 weeks either. So it's a bit of a tricky one, Mitch Moses.
Yeah, look, he's looking. If he scores a 42 this week, he's projected to lose 74 grand. Yeah. If he has a decent game, though, you might lose 50 grand and then he has a big one against the West Tigers and he actually makes money. So it can turn around fortunes quite quickly. I think the thing with Moses that's been annoying for people is that he stopped the goal kicking because of the injury, which happened. And last week he did take the first goal kick and he did seem to suggest that he should be right too. And then he handed it back to Gutherson. So I do think that he probably does take the goal kicking back again this week, and that'll help him out. It is an easy sell if you've got other options. I guess the position perso is the problem at halfback. What are your other options? So this is why I would have still decided to keep Mitch Moses, even if I didn't have as many other guys that I need to get in to make money. I would say to myself at halfback, who am I going to get? And it would be, well, I've either not got Hines or Cleary, and those are the guys that I need to get. And that's a pretty hard trade to make. So, but if anyone's trading Mitchell Moses, Perso, I think that you have to trade him to either Hines or Cleary, whoever you don't have. And both of those guys have massive break-evens. Because otherwise, you're just going too far down the tiers for me, and you're just, you know, putting off the inevitable of getting a Cleary or Hines into your side. You may as well just wait a couple of weeks, hope Mitchell Moses steadies out and he's about the same price, and then do your Cleary or Hines trade.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's always a stepping stone. It's Cleary and Hines is the two guys you want to have at halfback at some point. So if you're starting with Moses, it was always a bit of a stepping stone there, hoping one of the other guys would lose a bit of cash and he'd make a bit of cash and the gap wouldn't be too bad and the points would be sort of relevant. Who are you going to? No one else, really. Like, unless you're taking a gamble and you've started with a Brooks at 5'8", you want to shuffle him to halfback and you're going in with two cheap 5'8", which is fraught with danger. So it's sort of one of those positions to sort of ride out a bit, I think, unless you've got no other issues and you've seen someone that you want to pick up. But I mean, no one's really got a big B either, a low break even there either at halfback that you sort of bring in and you know you're going to make point off either.
And that's the biggest problem, isn't it? Like, if you had a Cleary or a Hines ripe, it would be an easy trade to make.
Yeah, I mean, even Hughes is suspended for 2 weeks now. You know, there's sort of nothing really to go to that's going to be beneficial to the judge to be worth these. Like, how many trades do you want to swap in those positions? That's the thing. You sort of burn through trades pretty quick when you're getting rid of a guy for 2 bad weeks.
Yep. And when I'm trading Mitch Moses, I want to go to Cleary or Hines. I don't want to go to anyone else myself.
Exactly, yeah.
Tough one. I'll finish off on Moses, though, by saying he's got scores of 137 and 133 against the Manly Seagulls and the West Tigers, and that puts those teams as the top four teams for his top scores so far. Doesn't average well against Manly, but his average against the West Tigers, aside from an outlier against the Dolphins with that stat because he's only played them once, his average against the West Tigers is the best out of any team, and he plays them the following week at CommBank Stadium where he has annihilated them before. And he scored 133, I think, even just last year against him, or maybe it was the year before. So he does have some interesting numbers on the horizon, potentially. Famo Suali is gone, and he should be. Siwa Wong, disappointing, didn't get named.
That was a strange one.
I thought that he would be named on the bench. I said all preseason I thought Butcher had one edge spot locked up, so I'm not surprised at all that they've switched it. And I'll talk about that more in team list. But for trading out, I think... At 462K, he's got a 28 break even anyway. I think you have to get rid of Siwa Wong now.
Yeah, being named in the 22, he's not even in the close to the 17. So you think it's going to be a few weeks before he's going to get another run. And I mean, particularly if you got you got Wong and Lukey, there's a bit of tidying up to do in that second row before you're worrying about trading out your Pongas and your Moses, I think. So
It's good if you've got Burbo, you can move him to,
yeah, that's right,
to second row and buy a centre and a second rower so you don't get stuck just buying two forwards.
Yeah, I don't really want to be buying two second rowers. I didn't want to really buy any second rowers this week, so I might have the depth that I can get away with leaving those guys like Lukey and Wong both this week and leave them on the bench and not play them and then sort of look at moving them on in coming weeks because Lukey's not going to be there anytime soon. And Wong, by the look of it, won't be coming back into the side immediately either, so they're definitely on the radar to trade out. I don't think they're must trades out this week, particularly on your side, because there's not a lot of second rowers standing up saying that they need to be picked for point reasons, but you may not have the depth to do it. So, but yeah, definitely on the radar to trade out. You wouldn't be hanging on them too long. 426K is too much to have sitting on your pawn for 5 or 6 weeks hoping he gets back in the side.
Drew Hutchison, he was never a buy that I wanted to make. I didn't start with him. I never considered it. He's going to break in at 35, and a lot of teams are trading him out. And I understand why, but it's just 34 and 32 the first 2 weeks from a starting half. It's pretty bad. He does have the Gold Coast Titans this week. So, I mean, if anything can jumpstart a career, at the moment it's a weakened Gold Coast Titans outfit because they can let in some points. Even when they're full strength, they let in points. So it's going to be interesting if everyone trades him out and he scores like 85 this week. But he's an easy sell. There's far better options. And these are the sideways trades that you need to make, right? There's these cash cows that you thought were cash cows, like a Hutchison at 350K. And there's someone else at 350K, which with a much better break even. You got to make those trades all day. before round three hits. So that makes total sense. Brandon Smith, people are parachuting out of because he's been doing Brandon Smith things, 37 and 48 points the last 2 weeks. His minutes have actually been lower than what I thought they would be. He's only played 46 and 54 minutes for the first two rounds per se, which I'm quite surprised about. Like, I thought he would have been a 60-plus minute, even a 65-minute guy, and it just hasn't happened. And I think two things have really killed Brandon Smith. One of them is that he has too many forwards around him, and that's probably the big thing because he's not being able to be used as a lock forward role when he can move from hooker, and that's a bit of an issue. The other thing as well is that, you know, young Sandon Smith on the bench there, but he's now starting. So I do wonder whether, because Watson is now on the bench this week, does that afford more minutes to Brandon Smith? Because Watson, everyone remembers as a hooker per se, but that was like 5 years ago. You know, he's not that zippy little hooker anymore. So I do wonder whether Robbo only wants to play Watson, you know, maybe 15 minutes at 9 and the rest at 13. That could actually happen.
Yeah, it could. It's a risk, though, isn't it? I did think Smith would play more minutes than he has, but he sort of hasn't really been relevant since he's the Supercoach wise, since he's playing through the middle as well as hooker. That's where he got most of his Supercoach points, is when he was running around at lock or prop, as well as playing a bit of hooker. So, yeah, if you, I don't know, the hooker's one of those positions where there's not really a lot doing there either. You had him, he's not the worst break even this week. You'd probably afford to have a bit of a look at him there with Sandon Smith playing in halves. Maybe hold on to him and chase some money elsewhere, but you couldn't begrudge anyone getting rid of him either, especially if you didn't have like a Lussick or something. That'd be a bit of a no-brainer.
No, if you don't have Lussick and you've got Brandon Smith, you have to do that trade, I think. That's 100% have to do it. But if you've got... I've seen some teams with Lussick and Brandon Smith. If you got Lussick and Brandon Smith, like I would actually bench Brandon Smith this week, start Lussick, and just see what happens, because you've probably got a lot of other things in your team you need to trade out anyway. And you could do that because you're not going to lose much on Brandon Smith. So some teams might have an option to do that. Look, Brandon Hands shouldn't have been in any teams. So he's getting top 10 most traded out, as he should be. Let's go into trade-ins. Joey Lussick was spoken about heaps. He should be the number one most traded-in player. I will confess something here, Perso, and it is a confession I don't like to make to a wider audience, but I'll do it. I was super excited to have Robson this week, and I've been really quite impressed with Robson, averaging 63 the first two games, and this was a great matchup this week where I was like, how many Cowboys do I have? Because they're playing the Dragons. I really want Cowboys. And I went, oh, okay, Robson, the revenge game used to play for him, excellent. And then I went, Jesus, I don't have Lussick, and I don't feel good about trading Levi with a negative break-even and Lussick. I even considered for a second there, Perso, going the double dirty hooker of Robson to Lussick, freeing up cash and starting him and having Levi still there in my team on the bench. And then I slapped myself, came out of it very quickly. But then I started seeing teams doing it. And my initial advice was exactly what I sort of said to myself. It is such a huge risk if you're getting Joey Lussick in and you've already got another cheap hooker or unreliable hooker there. You know, I think that is a really big risk, and I couldn't possibly go with that. But, you know, how do you feel about that? Because some teams are doing it at the moment, and it's obviously a very cheap way to go at 9 and spread the cash around.
It's not the worst, that's for sure. I'd be quite tempted to get rid of Robson for Lussick. The minutes are there for Lussick. Robson's not setting the world on fire. He's not going bad either. Like I said earlier, I had a fleeting moment there. I was thinking to get rid of Corris there for Lussick, but I pulled my head in there. But depending on the side, I don't mind it. There's a lot of cash to be made there. This season, more so, I don't mind it because there's just no cheapies. That's the thing. So you got to try and pinch the coin where you can.
Yeah, I think that's one where, like, if I was going to do it, I would actually go Levi to Lussick. And just, I think that the points and the risk is better.
It's a lot more palatable than running with Lussick and Levi.
Well, I think, like, even your scenario, like, I saw someone do your scenario, per se, where they went, oh, I'm going to trade Corris out of Lussick, and they had Levi as a second. And I was like, the problem is it's got a high chance of not working. Like, I know Lussick played minutes in the 70s last week, but he played 60-odd minutes the week before. Hands is still in the extended squad. Hands can easily come in. I could actually see the mustard, you know, Argy, coming in onto the bench And then he could play a little bit of hooker if they wanted to do that. But, you know, it's just, we've only seen 1 week where he's played minutes in the 70s, Joey Lussick, and he's had attacking stats, clutch attacking stats each of the first two games.
Yeah, exactly. Line rate try, and that's what he got last week, no 73 minutes. So.
Right. So you look at your crystal ball and you go, well, what's the worst that can happen? Well, the worst that can happen is Joey Lussick scores 35 and 35 the next 2 weeks, and you go, well, geez, I'm going to have to bench him. And then Levi scoring 25 points. Points. So, yeah, that's right. So, and then you go, well, what's, you know, what do I do? I was like, well, I'm going to have to find $200,000 to find a hooker that's actually playable. Yep. And then you're going to waste a trade on that as well. So,
but it might be worth a floating point. But if you, there's no way you can run Lussick and Levi, surely.
No, you can't. You just, that's like, I was sort of not on board getting rid of Levi to Lussick. But if I had to choose, which I did, I would have gone Levi to Lussick and just kept my Robson or kept my Appy or whoever you got there, because I think you need to start them.
Yeah, you've got to have something half solid. Otherwise, sooner or later, there's another two trades that you've got to get rid of. And there's a fair chance you're having to chop someone to find the coin because they're not going to make it.
Yeah, I will say that even in a few weeks, Lussick could stop making money. So even like in 4 weeks, you'll probably have to trade Lussick anyway.
Oh, he could get dropped for hands. The role could reverse it. You know, there's nothing set in stone there.
Well, if he scores 100 points over the next 2 weeks, which I think is pretty realistic, like I don't think you can expect him to score 71 points a game. He scores 100 the next 2 weeks. He's going to make 145K. So, I mean, it's a really good trade to make, and he deserves to be at the top, and teams should be considering getting him in, even if it's a Levi to him trade. Like, it is a consideration if you've got your money set up everywhere else. But if you've got an easy way to Lussick, you've got to get that done. Zach Hosking, though, is down to the second most popular trade. He was the most popular trade earlier today. I cannot get around this at all. Minus 56 break even was great. He was coming into my team for Lukey Perso.
Yeah, I was looking at the same. I thought Whitehead would have gone into the middle rotation when he came back.
Yeah, and I also thought that Whitehead might be a couple of weeks away as well. So, I mean, this has really thrown a spanner in the works. He obviously scored 92 and 109 the first 2 weeks, which is great, but the 92 is going to drop out after this week, and then he's going to be a 109 and whatever he scores this week, which could be a 30. So then all of a sudden he's going to start leaking cash very quickly. Now, if he scores like a 30 this week, he's still going to make, what, about 50 grand? But the problem is that then the next week, he's probably going to make 5 or 10 grand. And all of a sudden, you're going to make sub 50 and need to trade him out. Because the biggest problem with him is that he has to be playing 80 minutes and starting, because Zach Hosking is 511,000. He's not one of these $300,000 or $400,000 guys. So because of the high price point, playing off the bench in limited minutes, and I can't even see what his minutes are going to be. I'm not even sure.
Yeah.
It could be really, really bad for him. So even though the minus 56 break even's there, Perso, it's a perfect example of just because the break even's big doesn't mean you have to buy
him. Can't go near him now. Now that he's been down on the bench, you can't go near him. I actually thought that he's been playing pretty well. And Whitehead sort of getting a bit further on there, I thought Whitehead probably be a bit more suited to that sort of middle role now. With Hosking, Whitehead comes straight back in, goes straight to the edge. But if you didn't start with Hosking, couldn't go near him.
Yeah, and if you look at like his low minute bench games last year, it's pretty bad. And he did a lot of those at the end of last year. So I mean, having a look at him, he had a 23 minute game for 17 points, a 51 minute game for 31 points, a 51 minute game for 37 points, and a 28 minute game for 12 points. You know, the minutes are actually all right there. Like, I don't even think he's going to average 38 to 40 minutes that he averaged in those, you know, four games. And he still only managed to average, what, 28 points or something in those games. Like, it's very, very bad reading.
Yeah, no, if you started with him, you know, you take the points you've got the first couple of weeks and a bit of the price rise, but no way in the world I'd be trading him in now that he's known from the bench.
So Terrell May, I think he's a great trade-in, and this is a really good example where break-evens can be deceiving. Like, I got Terrell May in last week because I really needed a front rower, and minus 11 break-even going into the first price change. Even though he's on the bench, he still should get good minutes. Now, I think that the problem is, Perso, he's gotten 57 and 54 minutes the last 2 weeks. But we've got Angus back in the rotation. He's going to play minutes as a middle off the bench. We've got Jared back, obviously, in the rotation as well last week, and he's going to be better after one game under his belt. He didn't play very many minutes last week. So I've got him pegged at around 45-ish minutes still, which is good for him still, but yeah, probably 7 or 8 minutes less than what he was getting before. He still should be able to score like 55 to 60. So to me, he's a really good buy still. But part of the reason why I think he's a really good buy still is that I don't see him as just a cashy. I see him as someone that you're going to put in your front row forward and just play. And even when he evens out and he's not making money anymore in a few weeks, if that happens, I'm still going to just probably keep him there just to play. And that's the benefit of getting someone like Tyrell May in as opposed to someone like Hosking. Hosking, you're going to have to use a second trade very quickly, whether you want to or not. Tyrell May, you're going to be able to get better points overall, and you're going to be able to play them in a position of need. And they should maintain their value where when you sell them, then you're still going to have that profit. It's just going to be further down the track when you actually want to sell them.
Yeah, I've said enough over the last couple of weeks. I think he's going to get sort of at worst 50 minutes, and at that he's going to score like 55. At worst, you know, like 45, 50 minutes, he's going to score you around 50, 55. It's someone you can just plug in there and do a job of, and you could hold him all season when you bulk your side up and still be wanting a fourth front rower at worst. So definitely a lot of benefit of bringing him in if you didn't already have him. Certainly if you'd be bringing him in before you're bringing Hosking or those sort of guys in. But although Crichton coming in now, probably play the same role Butcher's done the last couple of weeks, you know, just sub Butcher and play a bit in the middle. So I think pretty obvious Robbo likes May, and he's doing a pretty bloody good job in that middle. So I can't see too many less minutes for him.
Luke Brooks averaging 70 points a game. Did you ever think you'd see it, Purser? not in the Tigers jersey.
Not in the Tigers jersey. Manly is a different kettle of fish. He could have scored 100 the last 2 weeks too. He bombed it, I think, two tries. He got over it the first week and another one last week. Could have easily had another, yeah, pretty good scores. But
well, he's got the try and he's getting the assists as well and he's getting enough touches. I think 59 and 80 points the first 2 weeks is really promising for him.
Especially in a barren position of 5'8".
Yeah, it is. Like, I think if you started with him, you're pretty happy with it. I'm not sure whether I'd be on board with buying him necessarily. I mean, I guess that a lot of the popular trades are going to be Ezra Mam to him, and I get it. I will just say with Brooks, though, with his numbers, he's got a 22 base on the season so far. Like, he's very close to spudding completely. And Para at Comex Stadium isn't an easy game.
He certainly wouldn't be going a Dylan Brown to Brooks or anything silly like that. That's
No. And look, Dragons round 4 is good, but then he's got Penrith, and then he's got the Warriors away in New Zealand. So it's I really would love to own him to be able to just keep him and ride it out and be happy about that choice. But I'd be very, very hesitant and scared about buying him because I just think, like I said earlier, there's so many different options this round. Like, you've got all these different money makers. He's got to break him into 20. With that base, he might only beat that by 5 points this week if he has a dud, and that's really poor. So I couldn't do it over the other trades. Maybe if it was in 6 weeks' time and we saw a few different scoring games and different variances of the type of role that he's played and the type of games that he's put out there and he's averaging, you know, 60 points, then I could probably have a look at it. But I just think at this point you just got to try and make money with the big break evens or the big point scorers, and he doesn't really qualify for either.
No, if you started with him, all well and good. But yeah, you wouldn't be looking to bring him in this week. I mean, particularly at 5'8", when you could potentially bring in a Calvin next week that's going to make some decent money. Brooks is not going to go massive either. That's the thing. There'd be a lot more pressing issues this week, I would imagine, than bringing in Luke Brooks.
Yeah, and aside from Calvin, I mean, if Plath keeps his job going as well, you got him too. So there's going to be some options at 6 there that you're going to have to consider.
Exactly, yeah. That's
to make
one.
Some money there as well. Ryan Pappenhausen, he had a massive game on the weekend, reminded everybody that he's a huge gun option at the fullback spot with 132 points. Scored a double, which is great to see. It's one of those things, per se, where it's hard to tell sometimes if it's chasing last week's points or not when you've only got a two-game sample size, because we all know what Papp can do. But this is one that I'm quite against again, and the reason is because yes, he scored 132 last week. He's playing Newcastle, who have been struggling. This is Newcastle away, and this is Newcastle without their starting the Storm without their starting half or six. Now, that's a big deal, no Munster and Hughes. Some might say, well, that'll put more onto Pappenhausen, but to me, it might actually just make things a lot harder. And then he's got a round four bye, and to me, the round four bye just kills it. Like, you're going to get one game out of him in the next 2 weeks in a valuable fullback spot, and teams that are getting him in, almost all of them are trading a gun fullback, whether it's a Ponga who's going to have two games over the next 2 weeks, or any of these other guys. So to me, it's just, it's not particularly worth the trade at the moment.
Oh, I tend to agree. It's a, there's a lot of people going Ponga to Pappenhausen. I couldn't do that. Not kicking goals this year either. There's a fair chance that 132 could be his high score this season. He was on fire on the weekend. He's a very good attacking player with no Hughes and no Munster. Who knows how long he's going to be out for. It seems to be just lingering longer than anyone sorts to say. So first week score, I think he's going to get a lot more of those than he will the 132s. That's the thing with fullback. Like, there's so many guns there. I wouldn't be trading a gun for Pappenhausen, with Pappenhausen's gun, potentially. But you know what I mean? It's just like back and forth. How many trades are you going to make? Well, if Pappenhausen gets a couple of low scores this week after you trade Ponga out, then you're going to be looking to trade him as well. How many trades you want to chew up on fullback?
Well, if you're going to do it, you'd want to make sure they're in a really good position, a really good spot, and have a really good draw. You know?
Not with both halves out and then a bye.
Yeah, it can't get much worse, really. and travel away to Newcastle is not easy either. Like, it's...
No, and the Knights have been pretty good against the Storm in recent times too.
They have been, yeah. The Knights have been very competitive with the Storm. They've pushed them a lot. So Pappenhausen can, obviously, with any of the guns like a Ryan Pappenhausen, they can prove you completely wrong, because that's what the top guns can do against anybody under any circumstances. But odds are, I think that trade won't work out.
I'd like the move a lot more if he was goal kicking, but he's not.
Oh yeah, the goal kicking would help immensely.
And Mooney's kicking him brilliantly, so that's not going to change anytime soon.
So someone that I am huge on that is in the top 10 most trade list that I have made a trade for already is Ronaldo Militalo.
So what?
2% of teams at the moment. He's probably only going to be in about 7% of teams when training's all done, and that's really important. We mentioned Ryan Pappenhausen before. You know, he's in probably 25% of teams after trades. If you're trading from Ponga, Ponga will end up in about 18% of teams or something. He'll be much lower owned. So Mulatalo, low ownership. He's got a minus 24 break-even, which is in the top seventh best break-even that you can get this week. And he's got scores of 87 and 116 in the last 2 weeks. And he now has the West Tigers, who hold one of his top five best scores, 112. He is just primed here to make a bucket of money. Now, if he scores 87 points this week, he will make $95,600. And then if he scores 81 the following week against the Canberra Raiders, which is played at Cronulla, which is great for them, he'll make $63,800. You could easily make 150K in 2 weeks.
And he'll almost be out of reach too if he does that at that price.
Well, he'll be totally out of reach. But, you know, like, my plan would be to sell him after that.
His base and base attack's been pretty impressive this year, Barnsley.
Yeah, it has been. And look, he's shown that before per se, but he's just dropped off at times and scored like a 9 out of nowhere, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's the thing with him. He's one of those hit and miss guys. He's a matchup guy.
Yeah, Canberra Raiders and the West Tigers the next 2 weeks are great matchups. But look, my plan with him per se, I think a lot of people get caught up in Supercoach where they're not flexible in how they think about things. And making money isn't just a set way of how you do it. You know, you can definitely make money better by getting somebody in higher price and then flipping them after they give you points as well. So to me, Mulatalo is a perfect example. For the Marju or guys that are expensive, or even from a Lukey, if you're downgrading another position as well with your three trades, he's a perfect example where he's going to give you great points. Like, you could average 80 easily over the next 2 weeks with him and make 140,000. Whereas if you try and buy a guy with a similar break even that's cheap, you're going to get terrible points maybe and not be able to play them. And it might actually take him 6 weeks to make 100 grand, and you're not even going to make as much, and you're still going to have to use a trade to trade him out. So, I mean, my plan with Mulatalo is to play him against the Tigers, playing against the Raiders very happily. Hopefully he goes as well as what he has been with good matchups. And then I'm going to sell him for hopefully 150K profit.
Well, that's the thing too, Barnes, in a couple of weeks' time, there'd be a fair chance there'd be some reasonably cheap guy with a decent BE either at second row or centre wing. And with the amount of jewels, second row centre wings this year, you can potentially palm him off and it'd be pocketed 500 grand.
Yeah, exactly right. And it can help so much. So I'm all aboard that. I think that can work really well. And I will say too that we all know that Cronulla haven't been playing that well. 16-12 win in the first week and 25-6 in the second week. Nothing to set the world on fire, and he's still scored massively. He's almost averaging a ton for the season so far. So imagine if they actually carve.
Yeah, he's in form. Exactly. There's plenty of potential there.
So moving right along, Josh Curran. I was all set to go Lukey to Curran per se. That's a very popular trade, and I think that it really should be. I actually went away from it, though, and I'm not doing it. He's got a minus eight break even. He's looked really good. One of the big selling points for me is that he's going to be front row forward available very likely after the round six changes in the dual positioning. That's going to be great. But the thing that held me off was I went, well, you know what? We haven't actually seen the Bulldogs rotation the first 2 weeks. They got Knight there at the moment now that's come back. And I doubt that Knight's going to play the 20 minutes a game that Famasuili has actually played the first two rounds. So I would really like to see the rotation. And then because all these other break-evens are bigger or the opportunities are better, I actually think that Karen is someone that you can wait on. Like if he ends up being good again this week, he's still only going to go up to maybe 450, 455K sort of thing. And you can pay that for him if he's going to be good and you want to start him in front row forward later. And that's my plan. But the upshot is you're going to get someone better with a larger break-even this week instead. And you get to have another look at that Bulldogs rotation, which we just have not seen properly yet.
Yeah, 100% hit the nail on the head there. I'm still dubious about what his actual role will be without any HIAs or injuries with that middle forward rotation. He's been playing big minutes and scoring well, but he's not going to go up that much this week. I mean, if you've got a Wong or a Lukey, you can put aside for a week and have another look at him. And if he still gets those minutes this week when there's no, if there's no other issues with that forward rotation, then yeah, if you can pick him up, but he's not going to be that much dearer. So definitely not a must bring in, and you can easily watch him again this week if he goes all right. But with that mind ahead, that if he, well, we should definitely get that front row duel. So he'd be a handy player to have in the front row.
Yeah, he's playing about 60 minutes a game this season across his first two games. I actually think that's going to be about 50 minutes a game.
Yeah, I think it's up a bit than what it was planned to be. I mean, certainly I played 1 minute last week, so wait to see for me.
Yeah, it's a fine trade-in for people if you want to make it. It just depends on whether you've got all the other options that you probably really need to have. Luke Metcalf, interesting 5'8 option. We spoke about Luke Brooks. Metcalf's been brought in. He's a bit cheaper than Luke Brooks, about 80 grand less at 483,000. He had some really bad scores last year, but the first two games of this season against two hard opposition in the Sharks and the Storm, he scored 70 and 63. That is really solid. And he's now going to have the Raiders, the Knights, Souths, Manly, St. George, Gold Coast. The next sort of couple of months of football actually looks pretty good, especially when teams like Souths and Newcastle aren't looking that phenomenal.
Yeah, the goal kicking last week, too.
And he goal kicked last week. So, I mean, like, it kills SJ dead completely, but does it make Metcalf an option with a break even of four? I actually think it does a little bit. I can see it not working out. I think you need to be prepared for that because we saw really bad scores from him last year with multiple 20-point games. But with the goal kicking, with how he's playing this year, maybe he's matured. Break even of four. If you own an Ezra Mam, well, that's a pretty good trade. And I actually like Metcalf a bit better at less ownership than what I do with Luke Brooks.
Yeah. If you started with a Trindle or an Ezra Mam or guys like that, then I could definitely understand bringing in Metcalf. You're going to make a little bit of money. There's potential there. The Warriors are looking pretty sharp again this season. So there's an opportunity for taking stats. So if he holds on to that goal kicking, then that makes it all the more relevant. I would sort of bring him in with the goal kicking than I would Luke Brooks if he didn't start with him. If he had it as a man, like I said, as a man or Trendle, I wouldn't hesitate to trade that out to Metcalf.
Yeah, it's just I guess what we said before with Brooks is valid with Metcalf too. Just really be mindful of planning ahead. Like if you want to get Galvin in next week, then who are your 5'8's going to be and can you actually do it? You know, that's important to think about. Just have to finish off this segment by mentioning Chad Townsend is in the top 10 most popular trades. And can I just say this has happened before and it's been quite upsetting. Chad Townsend should never be a popular trade-in. He is not a Supercoach-relevant player. For all the good things that Chad has done in his career, he's never been particularly Supercoach-relevant. Minus six break-even. I know he's playing the Dragons this week, Perth, so I know it's a really good matchup, but can I just tell you, like, he's had a low score of 27 against the Dragons, but he's had low scores of teens to 20s against everybody. He just scores terribly very often. He could easily score 27 points this week. Congratulations, you made yourself about 20 grand and then he's got a, 45 break even. He can't even hit the following week.
He wasn't even Supercoach relevant when he was kicking goal. He couldn't consider bringing in Townsend. That's a bizarre one for me.
You can't do it. So just if you're doing it, if you're one of these teams that are doing it, just don't. Just reverse it. Just don't do it. And I'll happily give you a stat that'll tell you why. The last two years, Chad Townsend has scored 60 plus 13% of the time and 8% of the time. Last season, He had a high score of 65 and three games of 60 plus. And he actually had more games than that was actually, you know, in the 20s and just as many in the teens, including a 14-point score in 80 minutes. Do not trade in Chad Townsend. All right, machine gun TLT per se. We're going to quickly go through TLT and look at the C&C options and any quick interesting note with the changes that have happened. We do need to take the quick breaks, and this time it's to talk about oneworldcourier.com.au. You can go to oneworldcourier.com today. If you own a business or you just work for a business that has a lot of shipping needs or even a small amount of shipping or courier needs, then One World Courier are your people to talk to. They are an Australian-owned company. They provide fantastic service. And what they are is an actual platform that compares the market for all your shipping costs and everything. So if you want to have a look at shipping overseas or domestically, no matter how big or small for your business, they've got you covered. You can check out what the best rates are or what the best service is and pick that one, and they'll organize it for you. And they'll also watch it from point A to point B as well to make sure that you get the best service and whatever you're shipping gets there unscathed and quickly. So oneworldcourier.com.au, if you jump on and sign up today, you've got a spot there that you can say how you heard about One World Courier and just pop all stars in the cell there where you can write. And that way they'll see that you come from the podcast and they'll actually give you a great rate to start off with as well, so you can save straight away with them. So oneworldcourier.com.au, go jump on there today for all your shipping or courier needs. First game of the round, we're going to have the Panthers-Broncos, the grand final replay. Look, Panthers, first of all, I thought that Liam Henry was going to be a lot more popular this week, but he's not starting. Lindsay Smith got the job. Liam Henry's still a bit of an option, particularly if you've got a Bulldogs prop in Poasa Famasuili that needs to go. But, you know, he's minus three break even. It's not a must. But the guy that I'm most interested in this one is the vice-captain on Nathan Cleary, if I have him. But that obviously stops you putting the C on a Hines. But definitely, I think, with the Broncos team that they've named, with not having Reynolds and potentially even Payne Haas being in doubt, who they're giving until the last minute, playing at Bluebet Stadium, this has a real chance at a Panthers victory that's going to be, you know, putting on quite a few points because the Broncos made heaps of errors last week too.
Yeah, it's got a bit of a Cleary masterclass written all over it this game, doesn't it? Just waiting for him. He hasn't been poor by any stretch of the imagination, NRL-wise or Supercoach-wise, but it's just it wouldn't surprise me if he turns up in this game at all.
No, in fact, I reckon that he probably will. Though last year against the Broncos, he went 53 in round one, which is one of his poor starting games. Round 12, we played him again, and he went 125 points. So he doesn't have the best average against them, but it's certainly in the top seven or eight averages. He has scored 150 plus on them before, so I reckon he's in for a big one. And Isaac Tungo, I'm looking at as well. You know, if you had six line breaks last week. Like if you had the ability to jump on someone just because you could get a gun in and you had all these other guys that are making heaps of money, I mean, Tango's got a 16 break even, so it's not like he's got a big break even. That one thing to remember with the break evens per se, which is really, really relevant to this bloke here, he's got a 16 break even, but that's because he's got a 46 and a 145 in his rolling. That 46 drops off next week, and it could be if he smashes the Broncos up for like an 85. He's going to have a negative break even, and it's going to be a 145 and like an 85 in his rolling average there. That's going to give him a negative break even, and he's going to be making money for a couple of weeks. So unfortunately with him, like, he's got the round six bye, but I really, really like him to smash it up. Six line breaks last week, one try, 145 points, top point scorer. He could easily kill the Broncos this week. So I absolutely love getting him in if you could afford to do it.
Yeah, 100%. He looks really good this season. Yeah, that six line breaks last week was ridiculous. Just in everything too. His base and base attack's really good as well. So it's sort of a hard thing to do with that bye coming up in a couple of weeks if you've already got a Talon May, which a lot of coaches will, and a Cleary. And he said, how many Panthers do you want leading into that? But he's a tempting option. Zoya from those is a really good option too.
Yeah, it's just he's a bit of an easier one to get to from like a Lukey and a downgrade somewhere else. It's just like you said, you just can't have too many of them, can you, with the buy coming up. And a lot of people have a Liam Henry. A lot of people have a May, like you said. So it's might be just a bridge too far to get too many in. I really like the Panthers in this one. And I can't believe the odds that you can get. Like even $1.33 for the win. Oh, I find that amazing on Picklebet. But they're minus 10.5 at $1.96. I'm going to be taking that. I reckon that's fantastic.
Yeah, I've got the specials this week, the Panthers.
The Warriors and Raiders. This one, look, I think that we've spoken about most people that are going to be relevant in this one. I am surprised at how well the Raiders are doing. I think this is going to be the real test for them going over to New Zealand. But Tapiki at number one isn't one of the biggest trade-ins this week, but we have actually had confirmation that CNK is going to be out. Well, it looks like until at least round five, if not six. So he's going to have a really good opportunity to make money. And I think it's, I originally had him in my team. And then I went, nah, you know what? I'm going to go to someone cheaper because I need that extra money. He's got a really good break even and he's not got many people trading him in. Have you got Tapiki in your team?
Yeah, I started with him. I took that punt that they weren't going to rush CNK back. So I sort of took that punt that he might get sort of five or six games before CNK comes back, and seems to be that's the way it's going, which I'm pretty happy with. But he's an easy trade in if you got stuck with a Gago or someone like that, that's for sure.
Yeah, and he's gone 50 points a game, 49 and 51 the last 2 weeks, and that includes a base of 31 per game, which is really solid. And he's actually looked quite likely. I like his tackle breaks. It's 11 base attack per game across his tackle breaks and offloads. And next two games are at home, Raiders and Newcastle. So I actually think that he should be more popular this week than some of the other guys that are popular that are coming in.
Yeah, for sure. He's definitely a decent option. He's a likely player too. He looks good. He's sort of getting better each week. I mean, there's a world where he's still going to be in that side when CNK comes back too, potentially. So I took that punt to start with. I don't know if I'd be as happy bringing him in this week, but I mean, definitely if you had a like Gago or other like a Jaden Salmon or a Hutchison, a trade to a Peggy for those sort of guys, it's definitely on the board.
Yeah, I think it's great. The old grudge match, the Roosters versus the Rabbits. I can't wait for this one. It's always great, but it's going to be Jared's 300th game, which is fantastic as well. And there's a lot of Supercoach questions to be answered in this one. So obviously we've got the changes per se where for the Roosters, first of all, we had Wong drop. So we got Nat Butcher starting in the second row. I thought that he would have been until the first two rounds where he's on the bench. So that's sort of what I thought it was going to be. I also thought that Angus Crichton should have been on the bench, and he is now. So two big changes there to watch. But for the Rabbits, the big change is going to be young Dean Hawkins is playing seven. And we got Ilias dropped. I know a lot of people wanted Ilias dropped, but I was kind of surprised about it because to me, it's a bit strange to sort of decide that that's your number seven and you're sort of committed to them and it's a young fella and it's the least influential spine member out of the four by a mile. And after two games, you drop him.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a bit strange.
Especially when it's not a Walker and Whiten combination in the halves either. They've got the Dean Hawkins. It's a little bit weird. Be interested to see how that pans out. But it's all looking towards a Roosters win for me in this game. I think that's a more balanced side from the Chooks. So, and obviously, Kiri's out, which is a bit of a blow. So there's a bit of like about Sandon Smith as well. So I think that's their forward setup now with Butcher starting, Crichton on the bench. I think that's their strongest side.
Yeah, I really like it. And I, you know, am I allowed to say that I like the Roosters to smash the Rabbits? I don't think I was a Roosters fan. They let me say that. I get the hate mail. But look, if you believe that, you know, he's at Allianz Stadium, big game, Jared's 300th. James Tedesco, in his first two games, has gone 70 and 103.
He's looked really good. All those trades, though, you're talking about bringing, I'd bring a Tedesco in before I'd bring in Papenhuyzen.
I would too. And at 707,000, like, he's still relatively cheap, like, not as cheap as Papenhuyzen, but only 60 grand more. And I think that Tedesco's just shown more. His base has been 32 and 26. He's running really well. He's getting the assists again, which we were saying in the preseason were lacking for him. It's back to what he was a couple of years ago, which is what you want. So I really like him for this week. If you own him, like a vice captain option could be on the cards because he's pretty early on. And you can obviously still see a Hines later on. So I think that works pretty well.
Yeah, there's a lot to like about it. He looks like he sort of had to overplay his hand a bit in the last season, and I think it looks a bit more relaxed this season, and they look a lot better than the Chooks at the start of the season. So I think Tedesco will be quite relevant again this season.
Yeah, I only scored a 60 against them last year, but I'm calling him for a try this week and a Roosters victory. Moving right along, we've got the Bulldogs Titans. This is a bit of a, I don't want to like upset the Bulldogs and Titans fans, but it's a bit of a nothing game. 3 p.m. on the Saturday time slot. Neither team's really looked fantastic. it's an opportunity per se, this one, for either team to step up. I don't think that there's too much super coach relevance in it. Certainly, I think that maybe the forgotten mid-ranger might be Billy Kikau. He hasn't scored very well. But this smells like a game where he goes over for a double. And maybe if your team's set up really, really well and you've got Lukey and you've got all the other forwards, maybe he's a bit of a smoky option for this week.
Could be. It's a bit like he struggled bringing a guy like in there for 1 week. I played at Belmore. I think the Dogs had a good chance of actually getting up in this one. But there was a chance that Fafita was going to be back this week as well, but he's not. I mean, it's probably going to be another tough week for the Titans, but I don't know if you could bring in anyone out of that Dogs outfit at the moment.
No, it's very hard, isn't it? I've got Kikau, so I'm just going to love that in draft. And
well, that'd be a good draft option.
Yeah, if he's around, like I got him for free in draft last week, so I'm looking ahead for this one. And I'm also looking at, you know, some of these other guys, like Blake Wilson's actually been playing pretty well for them. He could score a double against the Titans too, so some draft options there. But Dragons Cowboys is going to be more relevant. Not because of the Dragons, because Jesus Christ, it's the way the Dolphins dismantled them last week after the Dolphins looked terrible the week before.
Yeah, yes.
I picked the Dragons per se last week. I thought they were going to win.
Even at halftime, it was only 10-0. The second half of the Dragons was terrible.
No, they've ended up just biting the bullet and putting Luciano Leilua as a starting second row, which we knew was always going to happen. I'm not sure that's particularly going to spark them. But on the Cowboys side, I really like some buys on this side and some holds. Scott Drinkwater, I've actually got, and I'm going to hold. I think that people have been disappointed, and with good reason, in Drinkwater, but this is a week against the Dragons where you could legitimately pod see him. I'm going to pod VC him. And he's still gone 48 and 62 the first 2 weeks. And he's hardly got any attacking stats. So, I mean, to me, that I was pretty buoyed by the fact that he's still averaging 55 the first 2 weeks because he hasn't really hit anything much like Ponga. So against the Dragons, I really, really like him this week. And he has gone well against them before. He had a ton against them last year. And I'm all aboard him. But one of the other options that was really popular to purchase last week, Perso, that I didn't end up doing because I didn't have the trades, is Laybutt. And I think that everybody has laid Laybutt, but I still think he's an option. He's a break-even of 9, 103 and 26. Now, that 103 will come out of his average, which is unfortunate. But against the Dragons side, he could easily look like he did against the Dolphins in round one. And I reckon he'll go a 70-plus this week. So to me, it's sort of a bit of a longer-term approach with him coming in. But I think that he'll make money and he's a good play for this week.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially with if you've got Marzi or something, you could look downgrade to a lay button and use that cash elsewhere. Drinkwater, there's no way you'd be getting rid of him. He's been prone to some pretty low scores when he doesn't get attacking points in the past. So 48-62 this year so far looks pretty good to me. They got a pretty reasonable draw, the Cowboys do. So definitely would not be trading Drinkwater. And that goes back to that point again. There's no fullback that really put bang, bang together that you need to bring in. So, I mean, you pick these guns, you just sort of roll with them. I consider them all still doing well this season. So, you know, waste trades because a guy hasn't scored 100 for you in the first two rounds when they're always low scoring.
Yeah, exactly. And a guy that I reckon you got your eye on as well, 25 break even, so you can wait on him. But you can go Lukey straight to Fine Fuiaki.
Fine Fuiaki, yeah, he's a good player. It's definitely an option because Lukey's gone for, 6 to 8 weeks with that syndesmosis. So, I mean, there's plenty of opportunity there for Fine Fuiaki.
Yeah, I'm planning on trading him next week. But if your team's set up well enough, I think you could easily get on him early because he could go well against the Dragons. Though we don't know whether he'll get 80 minutes. Like, I think some people are assuming he'll get 80 minutes.
Yeah, the potential's there. But, you know, Gosolewski on the bench, he does play middle as well. He comes on and plays 20 minutes on that edge just to spell him, but there's definitely the potential there, and you can definitely watch a week as well. But I mean, Granville, Neem, McIntyre, there's not a lot of minutes going to be going away from him there, which that bench actually probably looks good for Reuben Quarter too, to be honest.
Yeah, it does. It's a really good point. This whole game looks good for every Cowboy. Fine Fuiaki, though, he is $292,000, so it's very cheap. And long-term, like he's got the Dragons and the Titans in the next three games. Long-term, he can make some good money by the time we get Lukey back. Oh, so
You got someone like Salmon sitting there on your non-playing second row forwards. It's a bit of a no-brainer almost, that trade, isn't it?
It is. He should be much more popular this week than what he has been, especially when so many people have second rowers that they need to trade out, like Lukey, among others. I think the Moors should be looking at him, but certainly you can wait until next week, see what the minutes are like. Tigers, Sharkies. Mate, your Tigers got, I'm not going to say embarrassed by the Raiders, but geez, the Raiders did it very, very easily last week. I will say, I did like the look of young Lachlan Gowan, and I did like that he got 80 minutes. I think that he is a buy going forward. The fact that they got Caesar on the bench last week, and this week they got Caesar starting and Sullivan on the bench, so they just switched it. But either way, Gowan last week got 80 minutes, and that was encouraging.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to change, Gowan getting 80 minutes. Sullivan was terrible last week. I was surprised he's still even in the 17, to be honest, but... Gowan, he looked the goods. He's trying his heart out. He's trying in everything. It's sort of one of those things for Supercoach where, young kid on his debut, he's going to, you're always going out there buzzing and getting a bit more involved than what he might normally be week in, week out coming up. But it'd definitely be good to have another look at him this week.
Well, if he didn't give away three penalties and have some errors, he would have gotten 60 points.
Yeah. Oh, he looks the goods, that's for sure. Especially being bottom dollar for Supercoach. Interesting to see how he goes this week. I can't see us getting... This might be a 40-odd point game for the Sharks, I think.
Yeah, it could be a tough one for your boys, I'm sorry to say, mate. So, it is at Leichhardt's. I mean, they've got that going for them.
Man, record at Leichhardt's worse than it is good. So it goes in the Sharks' favour. And the Sharks have got the wood on us in the last sort of 5 or 6 seasons too, so...
Look, I own Sione Katoa, and I'm actually going to own both Sharks wingers because they're playing the Tigers this week because I've got Mulitalo coming. So that's how I feel about it. Look, I think Mulitalo is the best buy, but I have seen people go on the Sifa Talakai route. He has started a lot better than what I thought that he would.
He's actually looked good, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has looked good. But it's probably just because of the past performance. I can't get around it just because... He gets so many games in a row of 30s and 40s, and you can't, it doesn't matter the opposition. It's just what he's always done.
It's only ever been that one game where he got a massive score, too. He's not that kind of guy that's going to hurt you by not owning him. He could punch out 5 or 6 weeks of 60 to 80.
Yeah, and he's got the bye in the 2 weeks, right? So, I mean, it's just.
Yeah, I wouldn't be rushing him in. He's not cheap either. So.
No, I much prefer the other options. A guy that I do think is an option that I was speaking to Wilfred about, because I knew that Wilfred would be all over Teague because he's number one fan, president of the Teague fan club.
He's looked good.
Loves him. He looks good. He's at a raw base of 48 and 47 his first 2 weeks, played 80 minutes on an edge and scored 46 and 110 points. And he's now playing against a Tigers edge and a Raiders edge. 610,000, 25 BE, does have the buy in round 5 per se. But to me, he's someone who's a bit of a longer-term one. I think that he could go on and keep averaging sort of 65-plus. He's running a lot of really good lines for them, and they seem to hit him, and they did last week for a good try and some other attacking stats as well. So I think that he's a smoky buy for this week.
Yeah, he's looked likely for a couple of seasons as what this guy's going to develop into that type of player. I really like him. I could see him being a top 5 second row forward this season for Supercoach. Especially keeps running those lines. They're using him a lot better this season as well. It could be a bit of a breakout year for Teague. He's been good the last couple, but I think where Nakora had the breakout year last year, I think it might be Wilton this year.
Elephant in the room time. Hines. People that trade him out are crazy versus the Tigers. Don't care what his break even is. Could be 300. I'm not trading out a guy that is averaging 98 points.
300, he could near get it.
Oh, the average is 98 points versus the Tigers. 98 points is his average. Last year, he threw up a ton on them, 109 points, and that was a quiet game by his standards. I've got the C on him. I was earmarking this game as a C, Hines, before round one started. I can't go any other way.
Nah, yeah, madness trading him out. Ordinary score round one, 70 last week. Yeah, this has got ton written all over it for Hines.
Yeah, 100%. I love the Sharkies for this one. I love the Hines C, and I'm hoping that people are selling because it will reduce his ownership. And I was surprised that he had not that many people on the C on him last week. So I think people are off the C Hines, but after this week, I reckon they'll be jumping back on because I can't see him not turning up. Eels and Seagulls, second last game of the round. This one's at Combank Stadium, Perso. It's hard to say what's going to happen with this bench for the Eels, and that's what I took away from this game the most. They've got Luca Moretti coming onto the bench and Hands going off. I can't see Moretti, Madison, Joao and Kelma Tolangi being their bench. I just think that either Hands or Arcy need to come onto that bench. So that was probably the biggest standout for Supercoach that I saw with this one.
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, Arthur has said he wants an 80-minute hooker. He's given Lusick 60-odd and then 73. Maybe he's going to try him at 80 this week. Madison plays big minutes off the bench. It's still a weird bench, though. I would have thought Talangi was in doubt as well, I thought. But that may well change as well. But
well, I found it weird too because Talangi got exposed so badly when they decided they had to put him at centre.
If they get an injury going down in the back, so they don't have a lot of options there, do they? With no genuine utility on that bench.
Yeah, I think it's tough because it's the second last game too. So, I mean, you could... Not that it would really sway you from a Lusick trade at all. It wouldn't. You'd still get Lusick in. But you can just see, you know, an hour before kickoff, Hands goes in and is on that bench again and takes 20 minutes off Lusick or something. And, you know, it's not as good as what it could be. But it's a good matchup, this one. Hamali Olakau'atu last week absolutely terrorised the Roosters. And he might be the smoky buy in this one because the...
he's been good both games so far.
He has. I mean, like a lot of people will be looking at a C Turbo potentially as well if they want a VC or Hines. And he's one that I don't think he's gone particularly big against the Eels in the past on averages. 84 average sort of puts him smack in the middle. But he has put a 179-point game on him, which is up there with his top few. It's up there with the best Supercoach scores ever, actually.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Eels are always better at Coombe Bank, but the Eels' three quarters still look pretty weak to me, which the Manly's been going pretty well out wide, so they potentially could expose them.
Morgan Harper on the wing.
Yeah, that's like, I definitely don't hate a C Turbo this week.
Yeah, I think you could definitely do it. I'm shit scared not owning Turbo this week. I actually think the Eels will win, but I'm still think that Turbo could turn up pretty easily. Blaze Talangi on the other side, debuting at centre as well. So... yeah, C Turbo is definitely one of the options of the week. Knights v Storm, obviously the changes that we already spoke about, Cogger coming in, Jenkins coming in for Marju. Pierce Paul retains his spot. I've seen a lot of people spruiking that. Dylan Lucas is in jersey 21. I cannot see him not coming in if he passes the rest of his protocols. So that might be something to watch. And obviously we've got the Storm outs. And when I look at this perso, Jonah Pezzett and Tyron Wishart playing 6 and 7, if you're going to VC a Hines and then need an absolute hand grenade because you've gone terrible in the round, it might sound crazy to people, but I actually think that Ponga is that hand grenade C this week. If you've got him as one of your fullbacks and Hines doesn't work out as your VC, last game of the round playing at Newcastle, I think that Newcastle really sharp in this one. And without a 6 or 7 for the Storm won't be as strong as what people think, I don't reckon.
Mate, I don't hate it at all, the Ponga captain option. I expect a nice bounce back this week. They were pretty ordinary round one. They weren't bad last week. They're up there in Townsville, they lost by points. So back in front of what would be a pretty good crowd on a Sunday evening. Storm with a few out. Certainly don't mind that at all. The Kuipers Paul is obviously going to hold his spot. I would say if Dylan Lucas is right to go, he'll come in for Jed Cartwright, but I don't think Lucas is going to... He's sort of the new Brody Jones for the Knights. I think Kuipers Paul, that spot's his to lose now that he's got it.
Yeah, I'm really not sure. I could see it going anyway. But Caelan Ponga went 96 against the Storm last year, and that was at the Storm when they were peaking. So I wouldn't put it past him having a good game this week. He's probably due for one, and the Storm look as vulnerable as what they probably will for months with those two halves out. So don't mind it at all. Obviously not a lot of other Supercoach options per se. So that's probably it for the podcast. Thanks for jumping on, mate. It's always a big one with the first price rises. So I appreciate you getting on and chatting it all out with me.
It's always fun. Always good to have a chat about footy and Supercoach. But very interesting round this week.
It is, and it's important too because there's going to be a lot of teams making different decisions and there'll be heaps of separation this week. So it's a really, really good time to move. And even if you've started badly per se, like both of us have, I think we've been in enough Supercoach seasons where we know like round three is when the real fun starts, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. And there's sort of no real obvious ways to go this week. Like, there's plenty of options to go. So there's a fair bit of variety lurking around, so it's going to make Supercoach a bit more interesting this year, which I think is the lack of genuine cheapies that everyone's jumped on sort of makes it that way. So it's going to be interesting coming in the next 4 to 6 weeks, I reckon.
100%. Well, good luck with your Tigers this week, mate. Hopefully they don't get smashed. And good good luck with your Supercoach decisions. And for everyone else, you can download, stream, or share us around from SoundCloud, Amazon, iTunes, Spotify. We are everywhere. Follow us on X, NRL underscore C underscore All-Stars. And certainly jump on our partners of the All-Stars podcast, Picklebet, official betting partner. Use All-Stars as your affiliate code, One World Courier. Jump on there if you've got a business or you work for a business that needs some shipping. All-Stars, your code again. Good luck with all your trades this week. It is going to be a huge podcast next week talking about all the movement. Huge weekend of footy. Cannot wait to watch Souths and the Roosters go at it for Jared's 300th game. We'll talk about it all again and more next week. Hey now, you're an all